You did a duet with Alice Cooper?
During that early 70s, I also made Cosmic Wheels, got back together with Mickey, and we got together, not this time with Jimmy Page, my studio buddy, or Beck, again, or Big Jim Sullivan, who is a lesser known, but reckoned by Jimmy Page to be actually a better session guitar player than Jimmy Page says. And so in the studio was Chris Spedding and I, and he would take over the position of chief guitar whiz, and we made Cosmic Wheels. And it was riff rock I heard. And in about 71 or two, British bands had already realized that they were Celtic rockers, and they were embracing the classical sound. That had already been pioneered by quite a few of us, but I wanted to expand on it. Strings, chorale, and children's sounds. And for one track, which was... what's the one? Na 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 na. Cosmic Wheels. Now, what is that title track? You know, I Like You. It's called I Like You. Another song for Linda. Just so happens you have an extraordinary, pristine copy of Cosmic Wheels. And once again, you see the art student in me, and I would bring other art students into production. And this one in particular, John Kosh, an art student who did an incredible amount of art, fine art design in the early 70s for album covers. And there you have it. So on the track I Like You in Morgan Studios, we'd brought in four teenage girls, virginal 14-year-olds, to get a certain sound. Each of them had chaperones to protect them from the rock and roll world, quite rightly. And I'm doing this. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. And so the young girls, the 14-year-old girls, are singing. They're out of stage school, of course. And they're giving me this very gentle na 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 piece on I Like You. Mickey's up in the studio saying, yeah, sounds good, Don. We'll have that. And then the doors burst open and it's Alice Cooper. When he comes in, he goes, Donovan! And I say, hey! And immediately these virginal girls run into a corner and the chaperones are protecting them with their bodies and their capes, you know. It's Alice Cooper. Keep the girls out of the way. He said, what are you doing, man? I said, I'm doing this. Na na na. He said, let me have a go. So he took over, and reluctantly the chaperones let these young girls gather around the mic. And while Alice Cooper says, now I want you to sing real nasty. I don't want any of this pleasant stuff that Donovan wants. So he's having a bit of fun. And they were doing the nasty na-na-nas. And he's a gentle soul, our Alice. And they got on really well. We had some fun. But then he said, look, why don't you come down my session? I said, okay. So I'm in a break, go downstairs to the smaller studio in Morgan, and he's recording Billion Dollar Babies. And there's a guy on guitar, and I don't know his name, but he looks like a kind of a spaced-out Keith Richard, yeah, gypsy-style earrings and ribbons and torn jeans. And he's playing this kind of Stonesy thing. And I listen to the track. He said, want to sing a vocal? And I say, yeah, sure. I said, but I've got to get up there. There's going to be a falsetto in this key. Is that okay? He said, sure. Because I love these old movies, the Hammer horror movies from Britain. You know, the vampire movies, the Frankenstein.
Christopher Lee.
I just loved the whole aspect of this fake horror movie music that he was doing. And so I went in and I did a high falsetto vocal, and so I'm half the vocal on Billion Dollar Babies, and it went to number one.
sky. If I'm too rough, tell me, I'm so scared, your little head will come off in my hands.
Nobody knew, and now it's a trivia question. Yeah, I actually think that's great fun to stretch your wings and join another kind of sound and explore different ways of making records. I just love making records.
You made a wonderful record, I think, with Rick Rubin about the time that he was starting to work with Johnny Cash.
And in 93 or 4, I got a call. It's Rick Rubin. He wants to make a record. Who is he? Producer of the year? I said, cool. So I met him, and he was working at the time on the Cash project. And when I flew into LA, it was beard, long hair, some East Coast t-shirt, really old, jeans with a hole in the knee, some funky old sneakers, and a 1964 Bentley, a record collection to die for.
Yep.
Meditating, and a particular incense I remembered from George Harrison's house, and a fascination with all things yoga and 60s music. And so he plays me this, and he didn't say much, just played me this Cash thing. It was demos. And I said, that's great. That's John. And I'd met John a couple of times. That's John alone. That's great. And he said, yeah, but we went to Nashville, and he played me that other stuff, which had all the superstars on it. And it was a normal, a unique, normal John Cash record. And of course, we all know now that Rick went for the demos. And aren't we glad? Suddenly, and a great American hero in the tradition. And the new Woody Guthrie, I thought, standing up, this great figure of American folk style, who is really, with June Carter, the Royal Family of American Music. An extraordinary record. Then he said to me, how did you make records in the 60s? I said, three songs, 3 hours, an album in a week. And he went, I thought so. It sounds live. Let's make a record like that. And so he wanted the old sound, and he didn't want any frills. He said, you didn't use echo. Mickey never recorded you with effects. It was all dry as a bone. I said, are you sure? So we listened to my records. And he said, see, the vocal. So he was studying and learning, and he said, by the way, I've already learned from all your records. I make records like you and Mickey made. So it was a kind of a school. I was at school again. I was the professor and he was the student for a while. But then he became the boss. And we went in and started recording. And he wanted Danny Thompson, of course. And Danny and I did some stuff. And he took it back to basics. And we tried rhythm sections. I worked with a couple of the Chili's. Petty's piano player came in and did overdubs. Get it down and try things. So he realized, and I was exposed again, of course I'm probably one of the seven in the world that can actually hold the acoustic guitar and vocal together professionally for recording pristine recordings. I know how to do it, but I hadn't done it for a long while. And it was intense for the first recordings, and then we got it down. And he went the way of the cash recording. He said, in actual fact, from what we've recorded, he said, the acoustic guitar and vocal is so you and so pure and so true. I want that. So Sutras became, I don't know, he wouldn't call it a pop record, became an exploration of meditational ideas and chants in the style of what you call now New Age ambient, which I probably invented with Paul Horn in 1968. This new age sort of sound, but also a beautiful album with one rhythm track on it, which is curious, which is from the Tao Te Ching, which is the book that I used. Once again, I just stole the translation and recorded this Zen Taoist rock and roll song.
I stay behind, I walk ahead. A part, yet a part of everything. Nothing done and all is well. Never used, yet always full. Out of nothing comes the one. Out of one comes the two. Out of two comes the three. Out of three comes all things. The more it moves, the more it yields. The valley spirit never dies. The root of heaven and of earth. Empty now of everything. Out of nothing comes the one. Out of one comes the two. Out of two comes the three. Out of three comes all things. It is not dark. From above it is not bright. You cannot see when it began. Follow it, there is no end. Out of nothing comes the one. Out of one comes the two. Out of two comes the three. Out of three comes all things. It has no aim, it is so small. It has no name, it is so great. It is not seen, it is not heard. Nothing done or left undone. Out of nothing comes the one. Out of one